If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Before we begin, sponsor mentions and some great supporters, everybody. Muck off. It is spring. You should be riding outside. Did I mention that you should also be taking care of your bike on the gritty roads and trails? Have you tried actually washing your bike on a regular basis? Muck off has all the tools and supplies needed for your to keep your steed shiny. Seriously, we here use what we talk about, and Muck off makes sure it is all clean and dialed. Use our Lincoln pack filler, please. I'm going to say that a lot. Next off, Scratch Labs. Have you tried the bars? Have you tried the bars? The bars are brilliant. Have you tried the chews? Scratch yes. isn't just about drink mixes. So much more to offer to fuel your races and rides. Don't wait until race day to try this stuff out. Use Scratch as your regular fueling option to ensure clean, healthy fuel that works for you mile after mile. Use the Lincoln pack filler. And finally, competitive cyclists. I don't mention these guys a whole lot just because I'll admit there's this internal struggle about things when it comes to online cycling and shopping and things like that. But trust us, use your LBS. But there are times and items that you may find the LBS just doesn't have or can't keep in stock, or it's high end and things like that, and your local shop just doesn't carry it. That's when Competitive Cyclist comes to the rescue. Find those high end or hard to find items and more at Competitive Cyclist. Again, use our link, please. I know I'm saying that a lot, but that's actually what sends us a few pennies to keep us in beer and inner tubes. Do they inner tubes? God, I sounded old when I said that. Lastly, be sure to check the Pack Filler online swag store for all the great fun and ways to show off your love for the show. Okay. Thank you. Nobody's looking at me. They're all staring at their sheets, yeah, Making picks for the races, and Sam's just trying to find USA after any rider.
Yep. Still trying to pronounce the name. La Fleche? I
think it was La Fleche Wallon.
Fleche Wallon.
Fleche! I do that every year. This time. Fleche for fantasy! Let's play some bikes. Did you hear it? It's just in the distance. It's the end of the Spring Classics is approaching, and we are here not only to rejoice the season that was, to attempt to prepare for stage racing to dominate our brains and daily lives. That's almost like a moment of silence, because I like stage racing. It's just not classics. There's just not that... Okay. It's also time for the longest-running cycling podcast out there. This is the Pack Filler Cycling Podcast. We are live in the Rim Break Bar, and I am your host, Pat Bulger. Let's meet the panel of pundits for tonight's prologue. Panel of pundits for the prologue. Gentlemen, let's say it was your birthday in the next week or two. Just hypothetically, of course. What cycling item would you ask for a gift that you think would be a reasonable ask and an expectation? reasonable ask and expectation. This is going to show us, first of all, what you would ask for. Second of all, what kind of price range you would ask for from your close family and friends. You good?
I'm talking about from family and friends, not from like...
not just
your sugar mama or something.
What if that is your wife, though?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is great. Tell me how you did that. First off, he's the proud owner of a new pair of shiny shoes, Mr. Paul Main. How are you, man?
Yeah, yeah.
Shiny bike shoes. Yeah. You went black.
Yeah, because the only ones, it was on sale. And that was the only color they had. It was going to go with the white pair, but they had it, of course, the half size on each end.
So
with the black.
Yeah.
So what color socks do you wear with those?
Black.
Yeah, got it.
Mm-hmm. You don't wear white socks with black shoes?
Nope.
Is that a rule?
No. That's dark with dark shoes. I feel like with white shoes, you can almost get away with it, but you should still stick to a lighter scheme with whiter shoes, too.
David would agree with you that Peter Sagan wore black shoes and white socks.
Yeah, totally. I knew that.
Yeah.
Sounds right. Peter Sagan did a lot of things, though.
Not shave his legs.
Yeah. Win three worlds in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, David.
Had heart problems.
Yeah.
Hey!
Now.
Too close to home.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul, if you had a birthday gift that you were planning on asking somebody for, what would it be and how much would it cost you? Just estimate.
I already bought it.
Oh. Your shoes?
No.
No.
No. That's too personal. I got that silk chain wax.
Oh,
yeah, with the strip chip and
everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are about $100, and then all the wax, and I think it came with wax and the zips. I mean the strip chips. I think it came to about $160.
That was, you bought that for yourself?
Yeah. But you know that's what I would ask.
Oh, okay, okay.
What I would ask, but gotcha. I already have it. And if I'm going for something that I don't have or would need. I'd probably go, I'd like several rolls of the physique bar tape that I use.
Okay. What's that a roll? Simple,
man. It's like 30 plus, at least the style I like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's about $35, maybe $40.
I was just saying that the other day. I had some Supercast stuff, and I was pulling it so tight that I tore it.
It doesn't really stretch that much.
Yeah.
No, apparently not. Yeah. And so I still kind of jury-rigged my way around, but it's starting to come apart now, and I'm like, this is a $50 roll of tape. Hmm. Next off, he's got the worst text timing of anyone I know, Mr. Sam Waples.
That's me.
You were telling me.
If I even text you back.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, your brother. Actually, you're both really shitty at that.
Yeah. Yes. I don't, like... honestly, if you want to get a hold of me, you should probably just call me or show up at my doorstep.
Or the clinic. Really? Yeah, just go to the clinic.
Go to the clinic. Yeah.
Well, that's the funny thing is he texted me that he might have to miss some shows in the upcoming future. And I could tell he was just so apologetic in the text. And then I get the text and I look up and Sam is like 8 feet away from me. And you're just like, oh, you're here. It's just like sending a breakup text.
I was just going to say.
That's exactly what it is. Because he just already established that he doesn't like to text. He'd rather have it in the front door.
Yeah.
But of course he uses it to say, I divorce you, I hate you, and throw poo-poo on your shoe.
Yes. That's
what he basically
did. Standing right over there. Oh,
that was bad timing.
Damn it. So I walked over to you, and I don't know if you did. You kind of followed through on my rules. I said, okay, and you were like, I'm sorry. And you were looking down. I said, okay, stay looking down, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to pause, and I want you to slowly lift your head up, look me in the eye, and mouth the words, I'm so sorry. I really want to live my life as a lifetime drama.
It was such perfect timing. I walk out and I'm like...
oh. And the text was just bullshit. You know, I was just like, I know how much you put into the show. And
see, there we go.
Oh, I'm so
it's
sorry.
It's not you. It's me.
It's me. Yeah. My wife is just requiring so much of me. And my house. And it's just like... blah, blah, blah. You want to come drink beer or not, fucker?
As if this show doesn't go on without me.
Well, you're a good addition. We're all part of the island, man.
Yeah.
So let's say it was your
birthday. His wife just voted him off the island.
She did. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All
right. Got it.
Birthday
yeah,
present.
Just blame it on her.
I would say I'm always down for a new pair of shoes or helmet.
Oh, is, yeah. Okay, you're up the price a little bit. You're around $300 buck range. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's my birthday. Yeah. It's a national holiday.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you do the week? Birthday week?
No.
Or your birthday day?
Yeah, birthday day. But our family, and I think this is just my dad wanting to prolong leave me alone children
yeah.
day.
Dad gets birthday week.
Dad got birthday, and he brought it in. It was like everybody then started getting it, but it was 24 hours, like, or before and after.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Or sorry, 12 hours.
So it was 48 total.
Yeah, noon the day before and noon the day after.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was basically just a way, it's my birthday, leave me alone.
Yeah, I'm kind of cool with that. Next off, he's got mental and physical scars from the weekend. Mr. David Waples.
Yes.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. You seem okay.
I'm okay. Today's a lot better than yesterday.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Things are starting to, like, the fog's lifting.
Yeah, the fog's lifting. Right. I'm coming back to life, so.
Okay. I mean, you did text us later instead of later.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Dr. Hill yourself.
Yeah, we need to do a concussion screaming on him.
Currently seeing patients.
Yeah.
Birthday.
That's why I asked who it's from, because if it was just asking to the family or something, I'd probably just ask for like a pair of tires or bar tape. But if I'm asking my wife, I'm probably I really want a new mountain bike by chance if she's listening.
Hello.
Yeah, it's like go big.
They're a doctor.
I want a Tesla for my birthday.
Yeah, I just want a little Tesla, Daniel.
It's a little Tesla. It's not a big deal.
Pretty much it's the, new bike days are coming along, and then we just attach them to things. It's like, I was going to get a new bike anyways. Might as well make it a birthday present.
It's like a line item thing. It just so happened to be arriving.
Like, you could have easily made your new bike, your wife could have attached that to something, and two birds with one stone. You get a new bike, she doesn't have to buy you something for a holiday.
That's true.
That would have
but I'm paying for it. Smart. I paid for it, though.
Yeah, well.
I don't know, my money.
You guys both
paid still
for
win.
It.
No, I paid for it out of my side income, my side hustles.
Mm. Nice.
I'm saving you.
Okay.
For an important reason. Okay. Me personally, I've got. I was like, he's got, and me's like, I've got. Me's got so many reasons to be joyful, but we'll probably forget them in a sea of self-doubt. I wrote that about myself. I'm Pat Bulger, and I would ask my family for cycling shoes. I my road shoes are getting a little scuffed. Scuffed. Look at this. High demand, bitch. But my mountain bike shoes are still pretty old. I rode Leadville in them in 2016. So wow. they're getting up there.
So you've used them so much.
Not that much. No. Not since COVID, to be honest. I haven't used them a lot. So
boa or laces?
Boa.
Yeah.
They are lace now.
Yeah.
But I would like boas. Yeah. After trying that out, it's like game changer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Finally.
Here
where
comes.
Is it? Where is it?
Here it comes.
He got his first W of the season. It's Mr. Jack. And that's it. He's got his first win of the season, Mr. Jackson Bulger. How are you, man?
Good, thanks.
We're going to get into detail on the ride here. But,
yeah, I've got them all.
If you happened to have a birthday coming up in
11 days.
11 days.
That'd be
just
crazy.
Picking a random number.
That'd be crazy. Well, if it were to be in 11 days, I'd probably ask for some Oakley Kato's.
Oh!
Yeah, for those.
Klee.
What?
I said Oakley.
Oh, yeah. I really want a new pair of cycling glasses this year. I have never worn Oakley's before. Hmm. So I'm interested to maybe try them out, hopefully. other than that, though, maybe like a new training kit, too.
And for those of us who don't know, those are the ones that
over the ridge of the nose.
The glass?
Yeah, the glass itself goes over the ridge of the nose.
Oh, very controversial.
Do we have a budding consensus?
I would defer to him.
I'm getting used to it, but I'm not a fan.
He's the stuff.
I would probably use those when I was building bikes. You know, they look like shop glasses. Yeah.
I like them. I think they're just like, I think they're like a pair of glasses that I've never really seen before. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy them.
I mean, that's all that really matters, because I wear glasses that people are like, those are stupid.
What do you wear?
I have Smith's.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are stupid.
Yeah. And then I also have the Oakley Sutro. Whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just people are opinionated about glasses. Like, I would never wear Rudy Project.
But what?
Yeah, really? Right. See, I know.
Anymore, though. Yeah. It's kind of a rough choice.
Yeah. I'm with him.
I'm going to have to look up Rudy Project.
Those ones that, you know, the, why do I keep, I can't, the, throw them away. The ones that we have all have
Gooder.
A bunch of.
Gooder. Gooders. Yeah, you know, that they were all, a sponsor feel, of this podcast for like 6 years. Well, be very careful.
Well, I can't remember them. They're no longer a sponsor, but you know.
They're dead to me.
Yeah, they're dead to me. I enjoyed them, but I also thought they looked really douchey. And that's why I liked them.
Yeah.
They're like super bright colors. They were huge. Like, but I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
that's what I would go for.
Bold. Yeah. I think that the marketing term for that would be they were bold.
Bold. Yeah. Not douchey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What word would you use to describe Oakley's?
Well, they don't sponsor the show. So
you know what? Oakley were the pioneer of cycling eyewear outside of Gargoyle, which I rode before then. And you guys can look at me blankly and not know what the fuck Gargoyle is.
No idea.
No idea.
Think original Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger. They were the coolest glasses in the world.
Those are the best right there.
Yeah.
The mountaineering ones?
Yeah.
Those are flight goggles.
Goggles with a retro picture in the background. But or Bernardino with his aviators.
Oh, yeah.
But I will not bash Oakley. Oakley's, they're innovators, man. They're ahead of the game. They have been ahead of the game since day one.
And if Oakley's hearing this right now,
he
wants to get a share of the pie.
Yeah.
We're not going
to
say no.
Talk to us. Talk to me. Yeah. Patrick at backfiller.com. they have always been ahead of the game, and they've always been really high quality eyewear. And my father has always said, never skimp on shoes or eyewear. And he's right. You know, because that's number one. Contact with the ground, number two, and your feet are so important. And number two, your eyes, man. How many times have you guys had a rock or something or a bug bounce off your glasses?
You should definitely wear glasses.
Paul doesn't.
Like,
I've only had one, of all these years, I've only had one thing hit me in the eye.
Yeah, you know
it was
how many
in a crit, it was a chunk of asphalt, and I caught it.
You know,
Popeye for a while.
You spit it out.
It takes to like lose eyesight with an accident.
I know.
One time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm quite aware of it, but I'm not comfortable. They sweat. They get. Yeah, I end up taking them off anyway because you can't see through the dang
things. I get sweat on them horribly. I'm not
going to
lie.
Yeah, that's terrible.
He's relying on his natural reflexes.
That's right. Yeah. Now they're getting pretty slow, which I better start through the glasses.
Here comes the rock speed, and this is...
Huh?
There was a rock?
Yeah.
It's in the back of his skull by the time he's...
What? I look at it this
way. Why can't I feel the right side of my body? Yeah, because you're stroking out.
Oh, well.
Oh.
All right. Jackson, talk to us. First W of the season for the team. Mm-hmm. How does it feel to start the year off right?
It feels really good. Yeah. It was really fun. I will also say it was definitely not a Jackson win. It was a very much a Rive win.
I know I'm adorable.
I know it sounds cheesy and cute, but it really was. Without
a team player.
Well, without the team, I was not going to be at the front of that.
Was it something you were? Did you show up at that line going, "This is my bitch," or was it a little bit of surprise in terms of your form? Because the first race of the year is always just like going. No, but you have no clue of anybody's what they're holding in their hand in terms of their cards, in terms of their fitness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always get freaked out because I look at just people's leg definition. I'm like, oh my God, I'm fucked there. That guy looks so fast. And then you never see him again.
Yeah.
Or he's the guy with a sign pointing you where to start is. But did you, was this something that you were surprised by?
You know, I think I went up just with confidence, but not pressure. I kind of just hoped I'd do well, but I knew my form. I know my fitness at this point of the year.
Yeah.
And I know that I've been riding a lot, but cycling is one of those sports where you can be the strongest in the pack and you also don't win.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was just expecting, hoping for the best, expecting, you know, whatever happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
You can.
How nervous were you when David and I were rolling up like 10 minutes before the start, if that?
You guys are so bad at okay, that shit.
I know.
We made it.
We made it. We're riding out there because I get off at 5 and the race was at 6. And I'm like, either I drive out there and I have no time to, like, you know, warm up, or I'm on my bike and we are sprinting out there and we're rolling up to the start line. And I was like, let's do that.
You rode?
Yeah.
To the start?
Yeah. Time trial to the start. So that was like, I know. And I was riding down and I'm like, Jackson's for sure got poo-poo in his pants right now. And I'm looking down and it's like 5:50 and he's probably just like, sons of bitches.
Was that on your mind?
I was like, oh, I wonder when they're coming. And then I saw Kenzie come and I was like, oh, like they'll be here in a We're few good. Minutes. Yeah. I wasn't too worried about it. I knew you guys would be there.
When I called you an hour beforehand to find out what time the race was at, I was just in my bedroom at home.
I was there.
I know. You're like, I'm rolling up. And I was like, oh, God, I better put my kit on and start riding out there.
Yeah. No, yeah. It wasn't too stressful. I figured you guys would come.
He kept it together.
Visual of David lying on his back in his bed with his phone above his head like a teenage girl. You know, the curtains, the wind's blowing through the curtains. It's like,
hey, thinking of you. What's up?
When's
race starts in an hour, asshole.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Better go.
I was just curious.
No, yeah, I figured you guys would be there. I was really, really happy you were there. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I was really happy about it.
Well, you guys, I mean, I don't want to, we can't obviously reveal tactical implementation because, you know, we don't want to reveal the cards for the next race. But obviously everything went kind of according to plan. But talk to me about what's missing in terms of how you all three who raced, Paul and I were not racing. How do you guys feel in terms of how you raced and where you sit? Jackson, we'll start with you.
I mean, I know myself, I'm still like pretty new-ish to this whole thing. So there were times where Sam would, you know, kind of talk to me about like just when to place myself in certain positions, which was really great. And that's another reason why I say without the team, there was no me at the front. And I will also say, though, in that sense, this is the first time that I've really noticed that this one felt like we have just all ridden together for a long time now. It felt like we didn't really need to talk to each other. It felt like we just meshed really well. And when we did need to talk to each other, there was no, like, we didn't hesitate. We were very comfortable in, like, telling one another where we needed to be, when we needed to be there. I mean, Sam was talking to me. I talked to David. All that stuff. So it was... This one cool. felt good.
But David and Sam never talked to each other.
No.
No.
More than an occasion.
Oh, there was a few swear words.
Just, side eye.
Sam always tries to say shit to me, and I just roll my eyes. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah. What are you doing back there?
I will
never forget you guys screaming at each other. And
I was not screaming.
No, he was screaming. He was screaming
at him.
At Missoula.
Yeah.
Sam, how you feel? How are things?
That was a redeeming ride because, as we all know, the weekend before was a low point in my life.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
even just bikes, but in general, I thought I was just worthless when it came to fitness because I got absolutely cracked. And turns out my fitness wasn't so bad; it was other issues. But so I was, able to go out and do exactly what we had planned on. And that went really well. The only thing that I think didn't like go to the exact what we had planned was I was thinking, okay, I'm really tired here at the end from covering multiple moves. And David, I'm like, David, you got it. You got this. You have to pull Jackson to the finish. And then David had done a big effort too. But all of a sudden, on the last lap, I just see David going backwards. And I'm like, I guess I'm up. And I went, surfed my way back up to the front of the group, did one last hero pull, and was like, good luck, soldier.
Tell my story!
That was exactly it. Yeah. As a parachute went off, and I just went,
yeah,
out the back.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the efforts were like the, you know, the way above threshold efforts. I could feel those.
Yeah.
Definitely took a toll. I mean, I didn't even feel good from the start and definitely died early. So, you know, for the next one, I would hope I had more energy at the end, but I died.
Like, yeah, but you were in a bad way also the whole way out. You were saying, like, I really don't feel good.
I went to chase.
I just got out of bed.
Yeah. I went to chase that last move, and I'm chasing him, and I'm just like, I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, fuck, I can't do this. Like, I know I can't. This is not even close.
You bridged for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the gap.
Were those your pictures that you took?
Yeah.
Where he's in the chicane area doing the puppy paws?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was puppy paws.
Yeah.
Oh, did I catch you mid puppy paws?
Yeah, you got a good I saw you take that photo, and I was like, I thought it was going to look cooler, honestly, because we were ripping at that point. Yeah. We were going really fast.
See, still photos take away speed. Just to let you know, it's still. Yeah. It's operative word there.
It didn't look very cool. And I puppy paws.
And they take away 20 pounds.
Yeah, can you add, like, the blurry lines next time?
Do you want me to do that?
Yeah, I'd like
I'll get yeah, I'll go.
At the sound.
Photoshop it.
Pew 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 pew.
David, you spent some time in the dirt. First of all, I kind of came up with an idea for the podcast here, and what I'd like to do is I'd like you to tell me about the event itself, the race, the course, the venue, the organization. It's from a series called which Paul would love, called The Dirt Abides.
Got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a series of mountain bike races around Washington. And this was their first gig of the year.
Yeah, this is the first one of the year, and there's many more to come. The guy who runs it looks like the big
one. The dude?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I was like, this suits. Yeah. This follows suit. This is great. It was out in Quincy, Washington, or Great Lakes, Washington, which is near Quincy. It was just like they had multiple categories all the way from novice, which my wife raced, up to like a expert men open or whatever. And it was like a 22 mile course. At first I was like thinking, man, I wish it was a little bit longer. You always forget that mountain bikes go a little slower.
22 is a long course.
Yeah, that turns out to be quite a long ride. And for which I underestimated water need, because 20 on the road is a lot quicker. But anyways,
so your brother wasn't there to help you lay out all your nutrition. And
yep. But it was good. It was a, you know, group start, fun course, a lot of single track. Those trails are actually super fun. I've never ridden out there. It was very well organized. They had, you know, like timing chips and numbers, which that's a pet peeve. Why the hell do we have both? Just saying, pick one.
Mm-hmm. Because the timing chips sometimes fail.
Okay.
Did you have to wear one on your ankle?
No, you tie it onto your helmet.
I hate those ones because then they tear off. If you have a matte helmet, then it tears off the matte finish.
You leave sticker goo. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So, but it overall very smooth. They had food for you afterwards. Rainier. There was free Rainier.
What's Rainier? Ramen.
No, Rainier beer.
Oh. Free Rainier?
Yeah, they had a cooler full of Rainier afterwards.
Dude.
It was great. With a barbecue. Overall, great time. Like this is this I think is why Mountain does so well, is it's such a great community. There was Danielle made like two new friends. You know, it's great. Like her and I are gonna go to these events together because she has fun and I have fun. Can't say that for an SCR race.
I haven't made two new friends since you two came on the podcast.
That was a while ago. Yeah.
Well, you're dead to me now.
Oh,
fucking text. if you had to give it a ranking, a grade, the race itself, what would you give it?
I think I'd probably give it like I would give it probably like an 8. I think it was still
okay.
Yeah, I think it was still. I don't know if this is off base or not. Still a bit expensive for, you know, an hour and a half mountain bike race.
It was price.
It was price. Danielle and I together paid $180 for two entries.
That's $90 each.
Yeah, to be fair, we didn't know if we could make it, so we had to do day of that at $20.
That's gonna add. Yeah,
and that's fair.
$20 each.
Mm-hmm. No, together it was $10 each extra, and that's totally fair. I think that's why we need day of registration is for people who don't know if they can make it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, it's kind of expensive for an hour and a half long race, but again, very well organized. I love that they like sorted it out so that they gave like preference to the fast people to start first. The course was actually really good. And very well marked.
Yeah. Yep, okay.
All that. So
they also offered a season pass at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Which if I had have thought ahead, that's something I would have probably jumped on.
Yep.
You know, because even if
am I even supposed to be on the show?
You will. You will be. Yeah. I will put this out there. Race promoters, I am happy to include a segment just like we just did on the show promoting your events. Now, we might say, you know, yeah, your prices are a little high and things like that. But I think an honest review of races is first of all, something that's important. And second of all, it's also something that we need to help promote the sport and we need to get these things out there. So race promoters or people who know race promoters, email me with your information, with the dates, the location, and other information like that to patrick@packfiller.com, and I will start putting the word out. Paul! You got back on your bike after 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. How are things feeling?
Like I was off the bike for 2 weeks.
Oh, this is such bullshit because we went up Pettit. Jackson can attest to this. We went up Pettit, which is how long is Pettit? 7% maybe?
Yeah.
It's not 7. I bet you it's 5.
It's 5 or 6.
Yeah, maybe even 4.5, I bet.
It
is not
diminish.
That steep. No. Well, okay, it's your show. Go ahead and make up the shit.
7 to points.
but we got to that climb. How many meters? Is it a kilometer?
It's probably close to a kilometer.
Yeah. And I was, you know, fresh off my major reconstructive surgery. And you were at the front just kind of going, you're so quiet the way you put your effort down. But I was doing 400 watts up that climb.
I was just...
the whole
way. So that was Sunday, and that was... All I was doing is trying to do big gear efforts. So if you look at all the hills, I was just like low cadence, heavy gear. And so I stood up that whole climb.
Yeah, you did.
That's all I was doing.
Was it tiresome?
Yeah. That's why I know I'm out of shape.
Okay, shit.
Yeah, it's tiresome.
Could you maybe call out at some point in time, like give me a signal, like maybe stick out your middle finger on your left brake lever or something like that when you're like going, I'm going hard now. I'm actually feeling pain or something like that. Because I don't know anymore.
It's the low cadence. What? It really muddies the water. You can't tell that he's like all of a sudden.
No, I can never tell when Paul's hurting. Until... unless his eyes sink into his head.
Or he's cramping. I'm cramping. Oh, he must be hurting.
Your upcoming with the weeknight racing is such a blessing and a curse to the sport. But your Thursdays are hit and miss.
So I have grandkids. And so every Wednesday I have my grandsons, my wife and I shouldn't say just me. Primarily, my wife has the grandkids.
Yeah.
And then every other Thursday, I have my granddaughter. And then the other Thursdays, my wife goes to work. So there's potential to go on those Thursdays. It just has to line up.
Mm-hmm. But we're on the cycle of every other for these races. So yeah, there's not a race this week.
There is. Yeah. So it's going to work out because she just got off. And then plus she's going to Norway. So I'm not going to have the granddaughter because I just don't do good with little kids, let alone a little girl. It's want to play tee? Why in the fuck do I want to play tee for?
You want to talk about bikes or not?
Yeah. Do you want to wax?
You want to drink a shitload of beer?
Hey, watch grandpa or opa get drunk. Yeah. This will be a blast. Hey, son, come pick up your daughter.
No, teach her the ways of Lada Capecchi.
What's that?
a lot of Capecchi.
I know, and
waxing chains.
Watch this. Yeah, you want to wax chains? Yeah, she's a girly girl. She likes. I mean, right now she's going to be 10 in November, so she likes all the. You know, now she's doing a little selfies and that type of thing, and it's all like, okay, you lost me. She's a lot easier. So anyway, yeah, they are. It could be tough hit and miss.
Yeah.
On the Thursday.
Okay, you better show up because I need somebody. I want to. I need another old
I
fart.
I love racing.
I need another That's guy who farts dust being able to race with me. Let's get to the news, you guys. Brought to us by Benedito's Pizza, who is going to be supplying us with beer starting tomorrow. Big thanks to the friends at Benedito's. I just pulled that out of my ass, but Paul just lined that up for it, and I'm really glad that they're going to be our helping us out with some
their brew
lubrication of their in-house brew, and that should be great. First story, Casting Casquettes, the publication of the new images of the Spectator who threw the cap and Matthew Vanderpool as the world champion rode towards Paris-Roubaix victory, has revived speculation that her action may have been intentional, something she, in fact, claims and has categorically denied. Who saw that? Who saw the footage?
I saw both. Have you seen both footage?
Yeah. Just
There's two.
Oh, all I saw was one, and it looked
There's
legit.
A new one where they're in front of Matthew, and you can see her. Her whole hand, you can. It's obvious. But she's a Matthew Vanderpool fan, by the way.
Why would she do that?
She wanted a signature.
I don't know.
While he was putting down.
Who was it that threw it?
It was a woman spectator. In an interview with Het Laatste Nieuws last week, the lawyer representing the spectator responsible said she denied it was in any way a malicious inaction and that she was a fan of Vanderpool. However, another video obtained, this is the one you're talking about, Paul, and published by Het Laatste Nieuws, showing the same incident from a different angle has raised fresh questions. Spectator said through her lawyer last week it was not done on purpose.
Bullshit!
Sorry, I had to sneeze. It was clearly never my client's intention, this is a quote from the lawyer, to harm the rider in question, let alone that she wanted to bring him down. No right-thinking person would... sorry, I'm supposed to be fair and balanced, right? Would do something like that, right? He
answered the question. As if common sense was common.
She has been in touch with the trade union to discuss the incident, but was not willing to go through the media. The cap toss was not an isolated incident at Paris-Roubaix, from what I understand. Later in the race, Vanderpool reportedly was doused with beer, as he had been on the Haute Clermont during Tour de Flanders victory the previous week.
The whole mountain is flowing
with Eau de Clermont beer, right?
How do you know between the slobbering drunk Belgians going cool and spitting on best beer? Yeah, pretty much.
At
that point, you got to expect it a little.
My first question was though the intentionality of the cap toss, and I think we're all like,
right? She meant it. Shame.
But this kind of behavior isn't really new. Of spectators doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I just think of the, was it Cadel Evans? When they threw the tacks out?
Yeah, I remember
that. They douse water on them all the time. Beer now.
Urine.
Yeah.
Lance had reports of urine. Yeah.
Yeah. Vanderpool's.
And urine. Firm,
yeah.
Kidney Vanderpool's, punch on Merck's. Yeah. Kidney punch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vanderpool spitting on people now. It's just a thing.
And there
it's
was
a thing.
Yeah.
There was I remember there were reports of back in the early 80s when I first started kind of being a fan of bike racing, that if a spectator hands you a bottle of water, you never drink it. Mm-hmm. You always just pour it over your head because you don't know what's
Learned
in that
the
bottle.
Hard way.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Took a hand up in a cross race. Turns out it was Fireball.
Oh, nice.
Well,
that's a duh. Yeah. Come on. That's chapter 5 of the Book of Duh.
If you're at a cross race, so would they have water?
They just have alcohol. I'm on my limit following lead guys, which I was like pretty stoked to be in that position because I'm a terrible cross racer. And some guy is like, oh, here. And I'm like, thank God, liquid, right? And I just go whoop down the hatch.
That's gasoline. You should have won that race.
You deserved that, idiot.
All right,
Sorry. Keep going.
Well, I was wondering personally. It was like going, here, water hand up. And it's like, wow, they're handing water in small glasses.
Shot, wasn't that small,
shot
though.
Glasses. That's and the thing. Is it and was it's kind of yellow and
yeah,
syrupy.
It's weird.
It wasn't a small glass. That was part of the problem, too. It was a big pour.
You took a big...
Oh, just belt. Boom, down the hatch.
Oh, my God.
You got cheered, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Legend.
Could
yeah.
this change... Are we entering an era where... I mean, Paul, we talk about... You talk about the beauty of cycling in that the fact that it is approachable to the spectators. Mm-hmm. Are we approaching eventually some form of barricades of changing sport? Jackson's nodding his head. No. Sam nodded his head.
Well, I shook my head.
Shook his head. Sorry. Yes. Shook your head. Sorry. I got my
I believe that like the one person's going to ruin it for all of us.
You think so?
Like, I think that the sport is inevitably all of a sudden it's going to be roped off for miles and they're going to be way better about policing and pushing everybody back, and then it's going to be disappointing. It's like, well, you guys did this.
Paul, please shut him down.
No, I don't think so. That because that's the uniqueness of the sport. And it's unfortunate, but I think that people are going to have to start leaning on, you see somebody do that, you know, and speak up. It's like, we're going to grab. And they're going to have to start using people as an example. You know what I mean?
And this the fact lady that this woman take, was caught. And yeah. the fact that this woman
and
has
she's
been
she's trying to lie through it. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And same with the, you know, people throwing urine and beer. If you're a person that just wants to have, like, you know, your experience of having your athletes like 5 feet, 2 feet in front of you,
yeah,
and watch a sport, no other sport provides that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You're gonna fuck it up. So we all have to start policing and say, just grab him by the collar, pin him down, call the cops. This is mm-hmm. the dude.
Yeah,
and start just we gotta take it in our own.
Well, you know. And we think about to even the time of an unintentional with the Ale Opi Omi.
Yeah.
That's just going to happen because of that.
But they, I will say they handled that in a way where I think they did really make an example of that person, and I think that's what's going to continue to happen.
Yeah.
Is just they call out, hey, don't do this for recognition purposes, and then they're not going to be allowed back, or they're yeah. going to be looked at as, oh, you're the person who made that sign and crashed out the entire Jumbo-Visma team.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be a big deal. I think that there'll be probably a lot more police officers around now. But I don't think they'll ever take it off or barrier it off, just because I think that's too much to ask from mm-hmm. a race director to do that.
At the
and
expense.
Then the next night mm-hmm. do it again all over and over and over. I think it's just too much. They can't handle that. And cycling, let's be real. Is it the money? Is it like the richest sport? Like,
no,
it's got the Middle East, but
I mean,
to what extent?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll add to that. When Danielle watched Flanders and Paris-Roubaix with me for the first time, and she was like in awe at like the fact that they're surrounding the riders, the yeah. front riders breaking through the crowds, and you have flags from like every country in Europe flying, like mm-hmm. to her, she watched that and she was like, this is, she was addicted. Like she was the one, we were watching highlights and she wanted to go back and watch more because of that. So you can't, that would be a huge loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If
yeah.
they take that away, if they put everybody behind barriers where you can't see that interaction, mm-hmm. it's going to be a bummer.
And think about, we're entering Grand Tour time where you have these mountaintop, you know, not even mountaintop, the mountains where they're going over, where the spectators are so close.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have never experienced that claustrophobic notion of being able to, of just pedaling and just hoping that
it opens
the seas part.
Yeah, yeah. I just and how do you keep going all out at full max when you don't know where the spectators end and the road ends?
Yeah,
you know, it's yeah. Just, Probably the best
it's such
example,
a beautiful part of the sport. Yeah,
the best example of that was in 91, if you guys look it up. It was Sestriere, and it was Claudio Chiappucci, and he was on a long, like this massive break going up Sestriere. He didn't even know where the road was. It was just because it's right on that Italian. So the yeah. Italians are out there, Tifosi are crazy, and he's like trying to wave his hand. It's just a sea of people, and he was just like trying to navigate yeah. where the, because they knew where the road was, and they're breaking up. It was insane.
And that but you can go full gas.
You know? Yeah. And they're getting out of the way right. No other sport gives you that.
I guess you got to just aim for the middle. Right?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Where they part, that's where you go.
Yeah, exactly.
And hope
right.
somebody hasn't had too many St. Bernardus, you know.
Oh, they all have.
It's just, but they're not going to get out of the way. It slows reaction time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't there's that, always a couple of...
Isn't that a weird interaction, though, between, like, the athlete and the people watching it, that you like you rely on the fact that they're not gonna like separate in a way that leads you off a cliff, because yeah. they could yeah. right yeah. like there's a weird interaction yeah. there.
And you're cold, fall down
outside. Bye, Matthew.
Yeah.
Bye. Gotcha.
Talk about tradition, though. Like, that is something that has gone on for years and years and years and years, and it's just now become something where it's just that is a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. 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 It's, oh, God. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe we'll get to experience it next year.
I can't. Oh, man. Speaking of which, oh, no, Joe. Jonas Vingegaard has left the hospital in Vitoria after 12 days after his high-speed crash in the Basque Country. The two-time Tour de France winner suffered a fractured collarbone and ribs, pulmonary contusion, and pneumothorax. It's all David talk. With the lung injuries apparently causing his long stay in the hospital, he's expected to return home to Denmark or his new base in Switzerland to continued recovery. Remco Evenepoel is also involved, and Primoz Roglic was also involved. The word is that he could need up to 6 weeks off the bike to fully recover from these injuries. My first question is, what are the chances of a return of the Giro Tour double victory?
Honestly,
wink, wink.
I'm going to put my neck out on the line here and say that it is like above 90%. Like, I said this the last time we talked about this, but the drop off, not to say that anybody's, you know, a schmuck.
You're all winners.
Yes. Mm-hmm. However, the drop off in quality that we're going to see this summer, I think, is going to be drastic.
Shit.
I hope Garrett can kind of give... I mean, because here's the thing is, like, Tade is going to come full gas into the Giro. So I don't really think that Garrett can take that from him, but...
Garrett's not racing the Tour, though.
That's the thing. Yeah. And so that's why, like, Tade kind of has to, like, plan for doing both. Mm-hmm. And he wants to win at both, so he has to, like, gauge that. And Garrett Thomas can just throw all of his chips on the table and just try to go for the Giro.
The only saving grace is the Giro this year is not as mountainous as it has in the past. I don't think they're even hitting the Dolomites this year.
Wow.
So, Which is why Wout was going to go for it.
Exactly.
This
year. So, you know, without spending all that extra energy and stuff, I think he's going to be fine.
Speaking of which, if you were a Visma Lisa bike director at this point in time, other than locking yourself into your home and just rocking back and forth and shower in a fetal position, what would be your plans for July?
Shit, can Matteo ride a Grand Tour? That's the only thing that I would be really banking on. Because when you look down that line of riders, Sepp. I mean, yeah, you have Sepp. Mm-hmm. But I think Sepp is not, he doesn't really hold a candle.
No,
I feel bad
such
saying that.
He's a bad time trialist.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, he doesn't have any sort of real punch like a lot of these other guys are going to have. So you just hope Matteo can ride a really good kind of flattish Giro if he goes to it, but you just kind of take this year and build on the next one.
Wow.
Well, and aren't they losing an SD to a soccer team this year?
They are.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So,
oh, losing what?
DS.
A DS, not SD. Yeah. Thank you.
To Director a soccer sportive. Team?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to a Dutch soccer team, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that a normal crossover? A
lot less traveling.
Yeah. What's he doing for them?
Still kind of a lot.
Is he directing?
Probably better money.
He's directing the soccer team?
Is he a director? I can't remember. His name is, starts with an M. But anyway.
He said a coach. Rob
yeah,
Hatch
he's a coach,
did.
So he does a lot of coaching for fitness and stuff for the team.
Okay.
And Wout is one of his... He said that he praised Wout and everything. He says it was a hard decision, but you got money in cycling or soccer. What do you think's more
lucrative?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you blame him? He said it was a tough choice, but
is this a lesson to be learned in terms of teams having one to two major invested riders on a team? I'll just give you an example. Remco and Patrick Lefebvre. and Patrick Lefebvre's got a fuck ton of flaws going on right now, and his entire methodology of guilting his riders, and he just sounds like a grumpy asshole.
Well, he sounds like the Tinkoff guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Olaf. Yeah.
Olaf, right?
Oleg.
Oleg. Oleg. Yeah. Tinkoff.
He's got an article that he's able to a regular column that he's providing to Belgian press, and he's just ridiculing his riders. But anyway, I digress here, don't I? Talk to me about this. I mean, all sports kind of fall into this, having one, two major stars. Am I wrong? But at least with cycling, you usually are able to focus on classics versus Grand Tours.
Mm-hmm.
But with a Jumbo-Visma team, you're now looking at, we've lost our Grand Tour and we've lost our classics.
Yeah.
Lefebvre is looking at, he put all his eggs into the basket of a Grand Tour rider, and now he has nothing.
Yeah. I mean, you think of like the great sport teams going on. I just think currently, because I'm not that old. no offense. I'm really
he
not.
He was going to say La Vie Claire.
Yeah. But like, you think of the current sport teams that are consistently dominant, and those are the ones that avoid injury consistently. That's super
luck.
Tough. Yeah, it's a lot luck. Of luck, yeah. And it's also very different in terms of the sport, because in a lot of cases, like in a football, like Patrick Mahomes, he's been injured like once seriously, mm-hmm. but he still plays all these seasons. Messi's the same thing. He's been injured, I think, 4 or 5 times in his entire like 20-year career. And those are the
type of... just hit it with freezing spray.
Yeah. And they also train for those moments, though. You know, like Mahomes, he has a specific like training regimen to put him into uncomfortable positions.
Yeah.
But it's super... I feel like it's super different when it comes to cycling. You can't really compare it because so-and-so could cause Jonas to crash, you know? But it is really... It just comes down to that big amount of luck, and you also really have to know the type of rider that you have in your team. I mean, if you look at a Tade, when's the last time you really have seen Tade crash? It was in the, yeah, knock on wood. But
last year at this time, Liège-Bastogne-Liège.
Yeah, and he broke his wrist. Yeah. But you don't see him on the ground very often. You just know he's that type of rider that can keep it upright. And like when you put all your baskets into a Roglic, which Bora Hansgrohe did, and now they're kind of facing that a little bit.
Yeah.
You start to see what you get from what you pay for. I think that when it comes to Quickstep, though, that team needs to go for that team to succeed.
Paul could probably agree with me with the glory that of the Mapei years and all those incredible years. I mean, probably even as back as far as Word Perfect. That might be too far back, but a legend in the sport, but I think the school of thought has changed.
Mm-hmm. All legends lose their edge at one point.
I think with him...
Take that back.
I think he was on the verge of retiring, and nothing's more important to have another Belgian, Tour de France winner. It hasn't been since... Well, Grand Tour winner was in the Giro back 79, I think, or
well, he
or
was,
something like that.
Remco won the Volta, though.
Yeah, but and the tour. I mean, the tour win is, that's true. I forgot about that. But, for a tour winner, it's been, 40, 50 years almost. You know, so I think that when he picked up Remco Young, he thought, I'll go out and have, I've got the best classic. I've done everything in the classic. He has. Mm-hmm. I mean, taken several times, 2 times where they took the podium. Under mm-hmm. his realm, in Paris-Roubaix. And
the Tom Bonin era.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jan Museo. Mm-hmm.
But you could see that classic team as soon as Remco came in, became less and less successful.
It changed.
And then he was hard on Alaphilippe, and then that just...
Alaphilippe has been reported to have been riding with a fracture.
On his kneecap.
On his kneecap.
Yeah, I believe it.
Because he didn't face...
No, not at all.
the ridicule of Patrick Lefebvre.
Did he say that?
No, he did not say that. He would never say that because he's probably terrified. I just, what a, Jesus.
Yeah, he needs to go for the sake of the sport, too.
I mean, this is a lot of this is speculation. I mean, a lot of us, we don't know what's behind the scenes and things like that.
Well, you contacted him once, right?
I did.
What was his response?
No.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a while for a long time where I was saying I host a podcast, a very popular cycling podcast, and they'd be like, "Sure." Now it's like podcast. Jesus, no. Everybody's got a podcast.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
Shut up. Yeah. I'm like, but I've been around since 1999.
That's anyway, right. Damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do
yeah.
they have three kegs? Does everybody else?
No, no.
Everybody, yeah.
Do they record live? Right no. Now.
They all do this editing thing.
Like that's real tough.
That was stupid. I better cut that out. Yeah. Fuckheads. Oh, I should cut that out. Okay. Let's jump. Looking ahead, it's time for the Ardennes with Flesh Wallonne tomorrow and Liège-Bastogne-Liège on Sunday. Paul, in your experience, just I'm throwing you under the bus here. I think we talked about it a little bit, but what makes these ones different from our previous classics? Is it just the final climb that changed the dynamic, or is there something else that changes the status of these final classics of the spring season?
No, they're down in the Ardennes of Belgium, so
yeah.
A lot, very steep pitching hills. Some of them like could be kilometer to 3 kilometers long. You know, you're looking at some gradients at 20%, and history has a lot of like stage winners, Tour de France winners have won those or do well in them. So Flesh Wallonne is one that goes over the big one is called the Côte de Huy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guys do it 4 times, finishing on the fourth. And it's grueling, but it kind of makes it for boring racing a little bit because everybody waits to that final
climb.
Yeah, final climb. But it is kind of a little bit reminiscent to Milan-San Remo.
Yeah.
Because that last climb, getting into it and everything, it is crazy. And you see guys about falling over because they just empty themselves up over the top of this climb, so... and then Liège-Bastogne-Liège is the oldest classic in the Pro Tour, and it started 1893. I'm just from the hip.
Is it a monument?
It's a monument.
Liège is flesh.
Flesh is not.
Yeah.
And that is famous. One of the famous ones is the Lara Dude and the Côte de Forge, and those are if when you watch it and the Lara Dude, you'll see the people. It's like out in the fields and these narrow roads, like typical in Belgium, but. People are standing on the side of the road. You get a sense of how steep it is. And that's where Remco, but he won't this year, attacked last year. And that's kind of a waste. I think they climbed that in the Côte de Forge and another one like twice. So, yeah, I think Merckx has won that 5 times. I might be wrong, 4. So.
We need dismount.
They're not as exciting as the Cobble Classics by any means.
Yeah, I mean it's almost kind of a well, we still got this.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to disparage those races, but it's just.
Okay. I like them. I like them better in stage races still.
To the Giro, I guess.
Yeah.
Shit.
What's what? Early May.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Let's take a look at the races, both women's and men's. And I do want to mention, before we all go to our rosters here, the women's ride at the Amstel Gold race, the women's race, which was the victory salute seen and heard around the world. Lorena Wiebes making the mistake that we can all probably relate to, and we've seen happen in all pelotons. Mm-hmm. The early celebration that led to Marianne Vos... perfectly timed bike throw, taking the victory in Amstel Gold Race. Has anybody done something like this in your career?
Nope.
You have to win first.
Yeah, How about bringing it in terms of a similar kind of a bonehead move? For example, my bonehead move was strictly mechanically. I remember gluing a tire on the night before a race.
What?
Yeah. I remember that. That's specifically. Bold. Yeah. I remember a moment where I was with a rider who we had lapped the field and I attacked that rider, and the rider used his teammates to catch up and win the race. That was a dumb move on my part. And I thought it was against the rules, but I guess I was wrong.
I think that when you is lapse, against when the
you
rules.
No, 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 there's a certain point you can actually do that.
Yeah.
I think that's a U.S. rule.
Is it?
That you can use
in
your
a
teammates.
Crit?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I can't remember.
Willing to fess up to being a dipshit? Sorry, Lorena. You know, I mean, a brilliantly done sprint, but
she posted on social that she felt like an idiot sandwich. So
yeah,
and well, she shed a lot of tears afterwards.
Yeah. I don't blame her for
well,
feeling
there,
that.
There's
way.
One thing she probably would have got away with it when I'm watching the sprint, because she was up against the barriers and took off. She veered right and opened the door for Mariana Voss. Had she just kept that line, I don't know why she veered off.
Yeah,
and that just opened the door, and Voss just like. Hmm? And she looked to her right. Yeah, I can't believe I won my national. Oh, shit.
Oh,
yeah. So there was a couple of errors there for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I've never understood this because for me, it's like, what's? Why are you celebrating across the line and then throw your hands up? Like, well, I mean, it's. Cool. And it looks cool after the you,
you
see the
like
whole
a
poster
piece
and everything.
Of shit afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like I've never. I always
finish the job
line and then I would celebrate.
How many times did you celebrate?
Oh, like once. It was for a sign sprint, I think.
But it was after the
but
sign.
But I got that sign.
I've never celebrated really. I've had wins where they're not even in sight and I still stay puppy pod across the line. I'm like as arrow as possible. Like I don't care what happens. Whoa. I'm winning by as much as freaking possible, and then I'll sit up.
You gotta admit, when at our level, a lot of times when you're posting up and your hands are in the air,
it's
you're on a desert country road in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
just
like
officials
are there
posting up for. Yeah,
there's no cameras.
Yeah. But you know, a downtown crit or something like that, you know, Jack, I'm talking to you, you know, like Boise when he won Boise Twilight, you know, that probably was like a boom, 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 you know, or something like that. Or Jackson, your pose on the website is freaking awesome. I love that one. And there were people there. But most of the time, if it's a road race, are you going to post up?
No.
No.
You're just going
to
be like,
I might do like a fist pump. Like, yeah, I got it.
Hi.
I mean, when it's come to the crits that I've had, it's just been like, I make sure like three times before that there's like more than a bike length. If not, I'm going the whole way.
Yeah. Oh, that hurts. Mm. That hurts. Okay, let's look at the races. The women's Flage. I have to always do that every year.
A Flage.
Flage. Flage for fantasy. I am going with Lisa Longo-Borghini, Cassie Niwi Adoma. And I'm going off the grid a little bit. Fem Van Empel.
I am going with... I think this is kind of made for her. I think it's Demi Vollering. Lotta Capecchi, who I don't think will... Well, you never know. I don't think she'll win this one. And then Marta Cavalli. From FDJ Suez.
Demi Vollering, Lotta Capecchi, and then Fem Van Empel.
Then good. Yeah, good for you. You're rolling your eyes. They're American.
I have Vollering Brand.
Oh,
and Brand. Nia Doma.
David, do you want to bother?
That's so cool. I circled Vollering, and I got nowhere else.
There you go. Okay. Flesh Men's. I was playing around with this. I of course picked Thomas Pidcock because Pidcock's been riding really well, and he had a good Amstel. I don't know about his climbing. And this is Flesh. I'm going earlier in the week. So I kind of play it around. You got to think. You might not have the same person in both. So I'm going Pidcock. I'm going Brandon McNulty. And I'm going Richard Carapaz.
I am also going to go with Tom Pidcock because he is actually a pretty good climber.
Yeah, and he's coming into his... He's timing it right.
Right. And that's why I think he made the race on this last weekend the way he did.
Yeah.
I also am choosing Mateus Skelmosa.
Yeah.
And who has come into really good form lately? Dylan Toons.
Thomas Pidcock. I really just, yeah, he's going to win. And then I'm going to just throw in two others. Mark Hirschi and Cheese Benoot.
Oh.
The podium.
Yeah. I have Hirschi also, Skill Moza, and I have David Gaddu.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
Been up there on this race before.
Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of getting good at this because I thought about David Gaddu, but I went with Pidcock. I went with Carapaz and then Tom Skunins.
Okay. Those are good
choices. I'd love to see Tom's get it.
Yeah. Liège, Bastogne, Liège, we have very redacted, reduced women start lists, both men and women. Yeah, they're both pretty much hurting. Yeah. I have Cassie Nieuwe-Doman just because I think she's awesome. Elisa Lungo-Borghini because I think she's awesome. And Demi Vollering because duh.
Yeah, I chose Lotta Kopecky, Demi Vollering, and Cassie Nieuwe-Doman.
Yep.
Lotta Kopecky, Demi Vollering, and Elisa. Wait, is that exactly what you just said?
It'll be.
Yep.
No, that's
no,
what
I chose
said.
Cassie Nieuwe-Doman.
Okay. Yep.
I have the same.
Yep.
Yeah, totally, me too.
David knows bikes.
Yeah.
Dudes for Liège, Matthew Vanderpoel, Ben Healy, and Michael Matthews.
What? Wow, that's wild.
What? I'm playing around, man. I'm dancing.
I also picked...
No, I did not pick the main guy.
Yeah, well, I did. I picked Matthew Vanderpoel, who... did not show up this last weekend. Surprise, surprise. I was really kind of shocked by that. Mateus Skelmosa again. And the guy who's definitely going to win this is Tadej Pogacar.
Yeah.
Tadej's going to win it. But I'm going to just because Nielsen, I was right on Mateo becoming a superstar. And Nielsen is up next. And Thomas Pidcock, he's going to sweep it. If Tadej doesn't win it. And Tadej's going to win it.
That would be the first time that somebody won.
Both.
All three. Because they considered it, are they?
Oh, I see.
Amstel.
Amstel and stuff. What a weak beer drinker that guy is. Mm. Did you see Tej?
Yeah, Tej just took it.
Tej, yeah, 5 seconds.
Yeah. Who's the weak beer drinker?
Pidcock. He couldn't even get one swallow down.
Oh, come on.
I know.
You had two
that's why
jobs.
I never, ever pick him again. Ever.
Bastard.
God. So what I picked was, I picked Tadej, without a doubt. And then I went with Tej because I like the guy, but he probably won't win. And Kostafoa.
Okay.
I didn't know that Tadej was on this list until you guys just said that. I didn't see his name. And so I had picked Vanderpoel, Palace, and Benoit.
That's not bad.
Mm-mm.
That's not
I
bad.
I see what I'm saying. I'm kind of all right at this.
I think you're
pattern
be okay.
Recognition. I did go to med school.
I tell you, if Matthew wins Liège, can you imagine winning three monuments? I don't think Marx has done that. So and I wonder a little bit season. Against Amstel Gold that he just himself. Like throttled back a little bit.
I'm excited to see a reignition of the battle between Matthew and Tadej.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good. I do think that one's got a better bit of climbing legs.
Yeah. And that'll probably be on the liar dude on the second time around.
Yeah. And I just think that Matteo has had a huge season so far. Like,
yeah, and it's Tadej is not.
Tadej is not. So, anyway.
All right, I had a topic, but there isn't time for it. So I'm going to just jump straight into our segments for tonight. Supported by our friends at the Pros Closet, a vast array of gear, full bikes that I'll gently use. Trick just anybody into thinking you're a dentist, or at least on a dentist budget. Be sure to use the Lincoln Pack Filler as it helps us stay hydrated. God, I timed that just
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature?
Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Nicely.
He's got to go pee.
Dave's got to go first. Pee.
What? You have to go pee.
You're standing there looking at me like, going, what? You're that guy who's pass out drunk, who's just like going, what? What? No, I'm not going to pick you first. You can go pee. Have we tested for brain kind of
no, we do need to do probably a concussion protocol. Screening.
Yeah, I think he bonked his head a little more.
Bonked his noggin. Yeah.
Yeah. You know you're going to miss some shows. And he's going to be all on his own.
It's going to be ugly.
He won't. Who's going to feed him?
I don't know.
Give him water.
I just assume you're just like a mama bird who's just regurgitating up like, this is what's going to happen tonight.
It was like, I think it was the E3 week. I went over on Saturday morning. I'm like, we need to catch up on bike racing, David. I made him watch it. Anyway.
Yeah, should we call start?
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Fit Tips.
There you go. There's your bumper.
I love it.
With Bike Fit Sam, brought to us by our friends at Ambassador Cycling. Get fit to get fit. Nice. Sam, we were talking, and you sent me the link to a listener question talking about saddles and first of all saddles and adjusting and things like that. Jackson just went through it himself and had to come back to you. And then I also want to ask you about bike to bike and being able to, I mean, is this something that we, not to pick on somebody I know who's constantly coming to you almost on an addictive basis, but with everything you've got to do, I mean, is it a constant, holy shit, can I trust myself with this? So talk to me about saddles, talk to me about different bikes. I mean, that's a gigantic encyclopedia of things you got to reveal.
I think that, like, what I would brush on is, like, I think in the last year, I'm always in continuing learning. Like, it's, you think that you have something figured out, and then you're like, oh, yeah, that doesn't actually work. And
really?
For me personally, like, I thought, okay, well, I could probably just do fits on people that, you know, necessarily don't have bikes and then give them their numbers and they can translate that to their new stuff. And I'll circle back to like how the listener relates to this is, you know, it's one of those things that unless a person has a good understanding of like engineering or mechanical mind, you know, some like architect, they understand geometry, right? Like you can't just give those numbers to anybody and trust that they're going to relay that onto each bike accurately.
Yeah.
And then there's also just fit differences. Like back to the saddle part is this listener had like thrown on a different saddle. I had fit them previously and then all of a sudden their knee pain returns and they're like, what's going on? And they realized, dawned on them, like, oh, I should check what, you know, if the stack height of that seat was different from rails to, and sure enough, it was. They had to, you know, adjust their seat height. So there's all of those complex pieces that always need to be changed. And like, for instance, Jackson's another great example, like got a new saddle. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that those saddles are actually pretty close for the length of the saddle. So you could almost keep the same fore and aft, keep the same, you know, like height on it. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. I mean, how confident would you feel that you could just take another saddle and throw it on and keep your fit pretty close?
From what we've done now?
Yeah. I mean, because like that last one started off with like it was just the saddle, and then because your sit bones were more like you were more relaxed, you know, your back folded entirely differently on the bike.
Yeah, it's a different riding experience than the other saddles I've had. So I don't think I could throw anything else on there and just be the same.
Right, and it's just like one of those things that it's just hard because that affects so many other layers of a bike fit, right? And so it's the same thing. Blow it out to any part on a bike, handlebars. You know, it's like your internal rotation of your shoulders may be different, and you know you may be more relaxed. Where it's like there's just all of these complex things. So how I'd wrap it up is like if you get new parts, you know.
Yeah, you can try to keep those same fit numbers that if I fit you or another fitter has done that. You can try to keep those same numbers on there, but you likely are going to need to circle back. And that's why you should go to a fitter that has those policies where, like, for instance, with me, if you get a bike fit for me, it's, you know, your first normal cash pay. And then the next one is half that price. And so they should be kind of structured like that so that, you know, you can go back and have small tweaks as you adapt
things. Yeah. Yeah.
And get older.
Yeah. I recommend every like 3 to 5 years. If you haven't done anything to your bike and it's just you've continued riding, like 3 to 5 years, your body's probably changed or a major incident.
Mm, quick question. How long have you been fitting bikes for?
Oh, great question. Probably
God, the brother.
12 years.
Mm. It's so funny. I just don't remember. Have I ever had a bike?
God, yeah, dude, that's not how this works.
No. Everybody know.
I am his brother. I should have
my website of him getting a bike fit.
I've had like 4 since I've known him.
Photos.
I'm pretty sure I didn't use those numbers.
It's not my fault.
Says a guy who fell off his bike 3 times this weekend.
Yeah. I do your bike fit, and then you go and you slam on a zero offset seat post and put it wherever you want. And you decide, oh, I don't know why it's not working.
Jesus.
Well.
Yes. All right, let's keep the show rolling.
Brothers will bicker.
Might as well go to it, you know. Talk about a little bit of Ask Dr. David. Did you hear that knocking?
Yes. You know when
asshole.
When I'm at the clinic, I knock on every door I walk through.
Do you really?
On accident. I don't even, it's just a habit. I walk into the MA's office, knock, knock, knock. I walk through a door from my office to the main room. I knock on the way out of my office. Knock, knock. It's just a habit.
Sorry, like, guys, I'm coming into the hall.
And then the people on the other side, I look at them, I'm like, I don't know, I did that. And I just keep going.
There goes Waffles.
Knocking on every door.
You call him Dr. Waffles.
That's really funny.
There was this discussion about saddle sores. And a saddle sores is an ongoing, holy shit, type of a topic. You know, oh, yeah. Number one, ew. Number two, how long have you been wearing your chamois? Number three, don't wear it on the podium. That's gross. And number four, when they get to the point of severity, that it a little rest and a, you know, a couple forefingers and pop in the blister ain't gonna cut it.
Right. Hot needle.
Oh, right in the eye.
Oh! Yeah, I love you, honey.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh yeah. Make sure you heat up your needle first. You know? Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. That's not my advice. I was reminded of this because we talked about it previously, and I think, you know, my message by and large is that, like, these happen, they usually become nothing, especially because most people who ride bikes are relatively healthy immune system. Like, you can deal with these things without like a significant amount of medical attention. Most people don't need antibiotics or an IND, like incision and drainage. Most people don't need that. But recently I saw somebody, wasn't even my own patient. They came into the office. The complaint on the thing said like mass on nut or something. Like literally that's what they wrote in the chart. And I was like,
wow, okay, they write that shit on charts like nut.
They just write whatever the person complains of.
And yeah, whatever the patient says.
And so I'm like,
use like technical terms like mass on testicle or mass on taint.
It's the if they knew what or where that was.
That's a medical term. Yeah.
I hear they're calling it gooch now.
Yeah.
That's the new medical term. Matt's world.
But like, it's Greek.
Gross gooch.
Yeah.
I see this and I'm genuinely concerned because I'm like, oh man, shouldn't be any masses on the nut. That's not good. Like, that's what they're complaining of. And I go in the room and they tell me all about it, yada, yada, yada. And this guy, like, doesn't mention anything about how he rides bikes. And I'm like, well, all right, you can talk all you want, but we just need to take a look because I'm not going to know what it is until I see. Yep. Drops his drawers. I take a look. I'm like, bro, it's a saddle sore. Like, I get these like once every 3 months or something like that. Like, this is a saddle sore.
Never had one.
I have a question. Is there a difference between a saddle sore and then a pressure sore?
Yeah, a pressure sore should have like skin breakdown. Pressure sores have skin breakdown and like erosion of the protective layer of the skin. A a saddle sore is it's an abscess. Yeah, it's like
zit on your junk, right? It's a zit on your junk.
It's in your taint. It's on your over your sit bones. So like breakdown of the skin where you can see like erythema or like bleeding, that sort of thing, that's more of a sore situation.
Oh, erythema. Don't know what erythema is. I used to worship erythema back in my days in the Greco-Roman era.
Yeah, it was the goddess of blood.
You're speaking to a bunch of idiots.
That show is going to be called Medical. Oh Mighty Erythema.
Something of the sort.
Yeah.
I'm going to spell it wrong, too.
Yeah, you're going to spell it
E-A-E-R-O.
So, this, you know, I saw this guy. He was like, you know, it has been there since I was riding this fall. And this was only a few months ago. So he had it all winter long. Because, again, most people, nothing bad happens. They sit there. You leave it alone. You know, basic hygiene, that sort of thing. Take a shower. And it goes away. Maybe you pop it. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that you like get down there and try to pop it.
With your teeth or anything.
Yeah, definitely
not with your teeth. Yeah, teeth. Well, because also with real talk, that can push it inwards if you like are messing around with doing, you know, trying to pop a zit. Like
you you can make it worse. You can make it more inflamed by like pushing on it, breaking. Wow. Like because it's generally encapsulated and you can break that open and make it worse. So his was growing slightly, and so we made the decision to give him some antibiotics, and I gave him very close, like, hey, this is what you do if things get worse situation, because that's in medicine, we're just very cautious. And I was like, it won't be a problem. This will take care of it. But, like, 3 days later, he got febrile. He started fevering, and he was shaking, and he was weak, and he actually ended up in the ER with a systemic infection from it. Because it kept growing despite the antibiotic we gave him, and he had to have a urologist come in and drain it, because not a lot of people will cut in your perineum because there's a lot of things going on there. So he had to have a urologist come in, drain it, give him different antibiotics. And you know, the thing I wanted to reiterate is that it's not always benign. You need to, like, yes, they will mostly go away, but if you start getting systemic symptoms, fever, you're weak, you're having chills, you really need to go be seen, probably in an emergency room or an urgent care, because it's a high risk area. You don't want trouble down there.
Concussed, he actually is able to talk doctor.
Yeah, I was gonna say that also depends on how long you've been married.
I mean, no matter how long you've been married, you don't want it to fall off, right?
Yeah. True. You know, I had
which solved a lot of problems.
It might make your position a little bit more aggressive.
Be more aerial.
Sam might be able to fit you better.
Yeah. I had a pressure point that started getting like cavernous, you know, like a big deep hole.
Whoa.
And a doctor look at it, and he says, "That's bad. That's bad." And I said, "Doctor, you didn't have to say it twice." He goes, "I didn't."
It's an echo.
Oh, my God. Can I explain that?
We're so full of these.
Let's jump to style points with Jackson and see what's going on with Jackson here in the world of style, in terms of fashion, in terms of things that are going on.
All right. I wanted to talk about shoes this week. Shoes. So what's everybody's favorite brand of shoes?
Ooh, it's perfect timing because Paul just grabbed a new pair.
Yeah. Sam says Specialized. So I had an interesting thing about Specialized.
You dirty, dirty.
Shoes and helmet. Specialized.
Well, Specialized is really interesting because don't they have an offset?
Yeah, they have a Varus 1.5 wedge.
So does that work for everybody, though?
You just went total nerd. You should have said that with a little sweat. Yeah, he got his
tour 1.5 wedge. See, the thing is, I knew about that, too.
It's so sweet.
Yeah.
So they totally suck it off. Yeah. Everybody should wear those. Specialized. Yes. So cool.
So they were the first ones to the market with that design by BG Fit, but actually most shoe companies do that now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that they only work for certain types of people.
Yeah, no, those, like, that is, it's maybe not to that degree, but maybe one degree, but all shoes have kind of, if you look at them, the underneath the ball of your foot is more built up.
Okay.
On interesting. All shoes from like 2012 on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Paul?
CD.
Yeah.
CD.
Yeah.
It was hard to get it. I mean, I explained on Sunday that Mm-hmm. I had a pair of CDs that were their top of the line back 5-6 years ago.
The Genius.
And they never did. No.
Oh.
They were called something else. They had a heel cup adjustment and everything. And just the material, it was the cruel shoes. I mean, I had bruised toenails, and I'm like, this is, you know. So I went back to the Genius 10, and they feel like slippers. I love them. They're just exactly the same as they were in 1991 when I bought my first pair.
A part of this question is why as well, so that very much gave it, yeah.
It is just mainly my feet have to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. David?
Specialized as well, but I just want to say my current pair of shoes are 7 or 8 years old, and I want new ones, but like I need them to fail. You know what I mean? And like that says a lot to me that like,
yeah.
And the new Specialized are $400.
Thousands of miles.
But I will pay that because I've gotten 7 or 8 years out of these shoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thousands of miles.
And they're still comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. You can honestly, like, I have actually, like, worn them out like David did, previous pairs, and I just put in new insoles after 6 years or so, and they fit great.
Yeah.
I have insoles, put beds in all of my shoes, and that changes the game.
Yep.
Yeah. I can ride almost any shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I was a CD guy for so long. Actually, I've ridden a ton of different shoes, but I went into a CD mode and then I shifted. I actually, Carson, good buddy of the show, the Diva himself, gave me some Giant shoes and I love them. They're great shoes and they were the first BOA shoes I've ever ridden. But I will say this, the lace up Giros Empires that I had were some of the most comfortable fitting shoes I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the performance of the Giants. They do everything I need them to do. They work great. They don't hurt. I have no pressure points, but I have yet to be able to slide into that almost like a slipper shoe and just be like, okay, I haven't found Oasis yet.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm riding Giros. I really like them. I crashed in them and they didn't change my foot at all. So I've really enjoyed what I've stuck with. Color-wise, I like white. I find that it's really interesting that it did kind of go from like a dark color, like what Paul's recently picked up, to now everybody rides white. I do kind of like the other colors, though. Like Stu, who we rode with this weekend, kind of has like an iridescent a little bit, which is kind of cool. But what do you prefer when it comes to color?
White or some kind of... There's like some cool, funky, you know, colors out there that I think would be fun for gravel, but for road, white.
Yeah. For my gravel shoes, mine are blue. Mm-hmm. So
Dan had blue ones on this week.
He did. Yeah.
If I had a choice, I would have had white instead of black.
Yeah.
Yeah, white for sure, especially like the hot feet thing. I think white shoes in the summer are ideal. I have forest green on for mountain, and I like those too. But like on the road, to me, white shoes are bust.
Okay.
I don't care.
Yeah.
What? Didn't you have like orange ones, or is that just your bike?
No, just my bike.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Swear you had orange shoes.
That's a very orange bike.
It is a very orange bike.
Yeah, it is a very orange bike. And I love that about that bike. I sometimes I'll watch a pro race and I'll see all the white shoes and I'm like, screw that.
Sure.
I'm going back to black shoes or I'm going to go something different or something like that. I don't know why. But yeah, I care, but I don't care. And then sometimes I think I don't care because I'm cool, but I'm not.
Yeah.
So in other words, welcome to my psychosis.
Yeah.
Nice. It's nice in here.
It is.
There's plenty of beer.
That's what drowns it away.
Something I think goes along with it, we talked about this a little earlier, so I might not need to ask the question, but certain socks to pair with your shoes is very interesting, what people choose to do, and what teams choose to do as well, I find really interesting. Like Ineos a couple of years ago, they had an all-dark kit, and then their socks were white.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's so interesting because everybody rides white shoes. But I do find that a white sock, like Sam said earlier tonight, that it kind of meshes a little bit better. I'm really interested to see with our new kit, the green, how it goes with all of our different shades of shoes. But something that you brought up, my father, is other surfaces we're starting to see. Yeah.
Sorry.
We're starting to see a lot more pros ride in road shoes. Don't quote me on this.
Gravel, yeah.
Yeah. Or did I say road?
No.
Oh. For gravel racing, they're wearing.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of.
Or even mountain bike.
Yeah. I was
Leadville.
Yeah. I was going to say Keegan Swenson this year rode Leadville on a pair of road shoes. And it's just interesting to see the shift now. You start to see it's more efficient. The sole's stiffer. People aren't really walking as much as they used to. Keegan didn't walk that whole time. Yeah. He didn't even get off. So it's just, it's a really interesting shift that we're starting to see in terms of what footwear is chosen. And also, I will say, we're really starting to see a lot of shoes change to more of like a road type of mountain shoe. Specialized, for instance, not Specialized, Shimano. Their off-road shoe is very, it's super stiff, but the traction is not as big as like a Giro would be. It's definitely a lot more of like a roady mountain shoe. It's interesting. I don't know. Just an interesting part of our sport.
I watched the World Cup mountain bike races this weekend, which were brilliant, by the way. If you have an HBO Max subscription, it's on BR Sports. Sorry, Paul, you can just not pay attention to me. And the World Cup short track and cross-country races were absolutely brilliant. They were really good racing. It kind of had a feel. It does have a feel of an extended cross-country. I mean, an extended cyclocross feel to it. And the community, the environment is like that. But I was watching these guys, and they did have to dismount. In some situations.
They've got
situations.
A lot gnarlier shoes than like a cross rider.
But does. I wonder if they don't allow them the flexibility of a standard mountain bike shoe. Probably I would not. Wonder that they're just like, no, keep them as stiff as a 2x4 underneath my foot. So shoes are awesome.
They are. They're exciting.
I love them.
They cost a hell of a lot now, but they're the best.
It's a good investment.
Yeah.
Feet, eyewear. Feet, eyewear, and helmets. You know, right? Paul, you got something for us?
Yeah, but if we're running along, I can save it. I guess we're doing it.
Change of times with Paul Maine.
Change of times with Paul Maine.
Oh, God, that almost sounded like Joe Biden. Let's see how things have shifted and things are better. Things better. Come on, man. They're better.
Well, I think what made me think about this.
He's a really bad Joe Biden.
What I think, I thought it was good.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Right. Yeah, I appreciate it. Liar.
Was we talked about crashes and stuff, and one of the things that I started thinking back with Matthews and Philippe Gilbert and these guys was interviewed. Yeah. These guys are saying what's so different about cycling now is that the youths are coming in. And there's no control early on the races, and it becomes very dangerous. And, you know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about, and every podcast is talking about the crashes and the mountain crashes. Yeah. And that's one element I don't think anybody's touched, is that there was a sense of control. The El Patron, the guy that led, said, no, you will not, you know, you can't do this. And people are getting, you know, these 18, 19-year-olds, not that there's anything wrong with that, they're getting in there, and they... You know, they're extremely talented athletically, and they crank out power. And we have Zwift riders that never raced in the peloton. And when you see how wide those roads are over in Europe, and you got a bunch of people, it's like putting Cat 4s, strong Cat 4s, in a Cat 1-2 race. That's just my take on it.
Or a World Tour race.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, just to keep it to, you know, like relative for us. But I think that is... maybe more of an issue, and then I heard a statistic that majority of the racers that were interviewed about the crashes, they said probably majority of the races, the crashes in the races are caused by cyclists themselves, not the road furniture, not the equipment, not whatever. And I think there might be, being a crusty old man, some of that old style racing that probably should start coming back a little bit and having some people... like, back off. This is not the time. You don't attack on a rainy descent, you know, with 40 people at 60 miles an hour. So,
wow.
I think that's a perspective that I didn't hear too much, or maybe I...
No, you know, I haven't heard it at all. And it's actually what the world needs now is assholes, sweet assholes. It does. It needs some people to just go, listen, fucker.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, it comes to mind is that young kid.
Skibbity this, you little punk.
In Flanders last year. Remember that kid that took the bike path and went right into a puddle?
Yeah.
Swept
yeah.
out? I mean, that stuff would have.
Wouldn't have floated.
No.
Yeah. Bernardino would have pulled aside and beat the living shit out yeah. of it.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, literally. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, so, be dead.
That's it.
Okay. I like that. You guys, thanks for your segments. We're all
Thank
done.
You.
Right?
We're mm-hmm. all done.
All right. You guys ready for the final K before we finish the show? And it has to be finished before the end of the trailer, the outro, because I keep forgetting to play the outro. But here we're going to go with the outro. Should I go with the 119 or the 104?
Which is the one that's kind of...
Well, 119 is this one.
This one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The question is, what in your opinion, gentlemen, is the most underappreciated piece of your equipment, kit or equipment? Jackson.
Most underappreciated kit, piece of kit. Like, that I think personally?
Yes.
Oh, I think the most underappreciated piece of kit is probably my gloves.
Jackson took a long time. Same.
K-Edge. Got like my mount. My
oh, your mount.
Mount
on the bars. Things yeah, 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 yeah. Mm.
Tires.
Tires.
Handlebars.
I'm going to pull off an earlier reference. I'm going to go with footbeds.
Yep.
Footbeds in my shoes. Huge difference that have done a ton for me. So let us know what yours is at home. Hey, everybody. Thank you. First of all, thanks you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Sam, goodbye forever.
You're off the show. Yeah. Good riddance.
Nice knowing you guys.
Mom doesn't love you.
Sure. Yeah, Mom doesn't love you. You drink NA beer. You failed. Which is,
exactly. I break so. With you.
Yeah. And for you listening, wherever you might be listening, thanks so much. Like, subscribe, tell a friend, give us a rating on iTunes, and please subscribe to us on YouTube and any other place you can find your podcasts. Guys, we'll catch you next week.
Sweet.
Later.
Great times. Ooh.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.